hallo, hier ist Felicia Herrschaft, heute mit einer Sendung und zwar über zwei Ausstellungen, die hier in Frankfurt gerade stattfinden. Eine im Atelier Frankfurt, sie heißt Immaterial, Immateriell, und eine, die noch bis Donnerstag in der Galerie Perpetuell zu sehen ist, Motion Capture Suite. Und hier im Studio zu Gast sind Navika Botson. Okay. Alles Wapotitsch und Barak Reiser. Und vielleicht, do you like to introduce very quick, for example, Immaterial, Immateriell, who's part of it? And
The exhibition Immaterial, actually the first word is in English, and the second word Immaterial is a German translation. This exhibition presents six artists from ArtNet Lab production group for new media art that comes from Slovenia. Every artist at this show displays two or three projects that are somehow interconnected, and all of those projects relate to the title, which is kind of tricky. Immaterial in English actually means first, not important, and only the second meaning is like not material. And since new media art is always dealing with this double-sidedness of materiality, that means the information society, the total disintegration and virtuality of every aspect of what we do. So it's basically the material, some kind of a problematic entity that might not even exist anymore. So the question, if material is important, so if material is material, is actually the question of our new media society, and it's what also the works of different artists explore, of course, everyone in his own way.
Yeah, and you started to work together with Barak for this other project, Motion Capture Suite, and
Suit.
How came your cooperation up, and when, and maybe Barak, how did you?
We have
come
met 5 years ago in Belgrade in kind of artists meetings called Real Presence, organized by Dobrela De Negri and Biljana Tomic, and we start to basically to talk, you know, to have discussions, and throughout the discussions, through time, we want to start to create something together, to build something together. So although our project is basically virtual, I think, anyway, I see it as very physical, you know. Through the time, I always thought we're building something together. So for me, the project was always between this gap between something virtual and something very present, you know. Mm-hmm. Very sculptural, very international, installation based.
Yeah. So it's called, if you look back, it won't be there anymore. That's the project where you deal with virtual realities.
We're using it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're using it because some of the things can be built in real life, but then maybe just a hassle for me, and some of the things are really virtual, like, I mean, concerning gravity, like if you move in a space upside down, or concerning infinity, because you move in a space between spaces and you always return to a main space, and this space is infinity, and of course this is only a value that you will get in virtual space.
So you created some virtual rooms, and one fact is, or one aspect is, that they don't obey the rule of gravity. So what kind of form of using is it in these virtual rooms that you created?
It's like the whole movement, you know, it's the tempo that you move without an effort, you just have to move your fingers. It's about it's about going upside down, looking at the rooms from all possible angle, which you don't have in the real installation exhibition space. It's colorate with, you know, the space of the exhibition. We kept the exhibition space here and in other places empty because the exhibition space itself is already part of the work. That means we have a space, it's an exhibition space, and then the other spaces that combines in it. So we always have a space and a space and a space. This doubling of spaces is an important part of the work.
Mm-hmm. And maybe what you haven't explained before you both is that you started this ArtNet Lab.
ArtNet
Lab in Ljubljana. But you both studied art before, and how is your relation between art and now working with interactive spaces and virtual realities? How does it come?
We both finished the Fine Art Academy master's degree course in video and new media.
Yeah.
It's part of the painting department. So, and also most, or actually all the members of ArtNet Lab actually did finish this particular study program. And this is the reason that our works are in a way very much focused on visual arts, on sculpture, painting, like art prints, and of course video, especially the traditions of Nam June Paik and his experiments with like video medium and stuff. However, what is
knowledge?
Excuse me?
Knowledge. Knowledge, information.
Yeah, of course. There are different layers of that. But for him also, I think the technology as such was a challenge. You know, the robots walking around, you know, the materiality of technology. And, of course, video image.
Using old, like already, like, he always used, like, also, like, used materials, like used television, used radio recorder. So it's always has something that has some history in it.
Yeah, for me personally, that aspect
isn't
the most important one. Yeah, it's a fact that all the television sets that you can now find in his installations are old. You know, he also might have used the old ones for the same reason that we use old computers and old television sets for our exhibitions, because we just don't have new ones. It would be much easier just to go to a sponsor and take 100 television sets, 100 computers, and 1,000 beamers to make the installation. It would be actually better for that reason.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is about ArtNet Lab is that, yes, it is based in the art field, in the in a class at the Art Academy. However, this study program involves also interaction with computer science students. So how we do it is actually the project that you do on for like the thesis, for the master's thesis, is developed in a multidisciplinary team, in which, of course, each partner in the project, the artist and programmers, there can be multiple artists, and of course there are the group of programmers always collaborating, is bringing his or her expertise to the project. And in this sense, it is, at least for me, very interesting that the result, you never can tell in advance what will happen. There is actually this struggle. It's always involved this struggle between different ways of seeing the questions that concern us and the different ways to solve the issues that we are faced with in reality. And yeah, there are these two worlds. ArtNet Lab is a society for connecting art and science. Yeah, and these two worlds collide, but in a friendly, dialogical manner.
Yeah, and you organized a festival of computer arts in the period from 2004 to 2006.
Yes, the main goal of ArtNet Lab is to support in a way of production and exhibiting. We prepare, of course, exhibitions and the main event festival. We are supporting these works that are being produced and the artists that are either still studying or they have finished and they still are working in this specific, quite problematic field, because you need these partners from the science, scientific disciplines. And yeah, ArtNet Lab is organizing the events and applying for funding, and of course funding the actual events. Whereas, of course, the festival is a point where like people meet. That is the main thing. We present works by like established artists, but alongside these installations, or like. This year we had a digital animation. It was like a genre-specific selection of internationally established artists and their works. Whereas we also this festival has always shown also the works by students, and not only by students from Slovenia, but also from other countries. For instance, we had guests from Croatia, Serbia, Austria, like the whole academy academy programs have presented their student works. So in this sense, we can like establish a platform for a dialogue between the young artists from Slovenia and from other countries, and to facilitate a contact with people that actually work in this field.
And you are planning the next festival in May?
Yeah, the next event will be very much focused on actually the exchange of these postgraduate students, master studies, because we thought every year more and more that basically this was the platform for young artists. It was the most important. And now we are doing a collaboration with the class of Markus Wehmer. He lives in Berlin and teaches in Prague. So at their academy for new media, and I think it will be a very nice event, because the different academies from Europe will show like free installations of three or five interactive installations by students, and alongside the concept is also to show the professors' works. That's actually Markus Wehmer's concept. He always does this in this way, because like Aleš said before, the contact of an established artist with young artists is very productive, ends in a productive dialogue. So that's also what he finds important, and mm-hmm. we are working on this collaboration now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, if we come back maybe to immaterial, to the ArtNet Lab. Yeah, could you say something, I mean, Clemen Gorup, what are they doing in this exhibition? It's a sketchbook, and it's an interactive installation, and Little Man in Virtual Rooms. So what can the visitor expect from these installations?
Yeah, that's a fun installation. Actually, it offers the user to type a cartoon, like, or a script.
Type, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Directly on the keyboard, on the computer keyboard, like you type a letter, or you type an email, or you type a poem by using letters on the keys. Mm. He changes this, and each key on the keyboard, instead of being a letter, is actually a person or an object which is animated. And so you can type a whole image, or you can it might not be only painterly way of accepting this kind of image, because you change the color, you change the position, you change the scale of it, you make a composition, but the narrative part of it comes maybe to the foreground, because actually you type situations like in a film scene, you know, you put few characters that each of them does a specific move, and they communicate between each other, because it is, they are animated, and very soon with these compositions you end up in situations between people, and so you can actually type a script maybe for a film or something, you know.
It's,
yeah, it's a fun installation here.
Yeah.
The next one, Little Man in Virtual Rooms, is actually a series of very short video clips where the author enters different virtual environments, and all of those virtual environments are actually built after the, his actual, his real surroundings, so where he works, where he lives, how he comes to his job, and so on. So he makes this double entry into our reality, whereas he is acting as a superhero, you know, he's flying around and so on. So he enters this virtual situation of a character who doesn't move in like physical space, but is a superhero, can fly, and he's superimposes this video footage of him with the virtually constructed environment.
Okay. We can make, if you like, a little music break. Yeah? And then we come back to the other projects.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ja, wir sind hier im Studio ArtNet Lab und Barak Reiser. Zusammen machen sie eine Ausstellung, die im Grunde jetzt noch bis 3. April läuft, Motion Capture Suite. Und da wir auch über die Ausstellung, die jetzt im Atelier Frankfurt eröffnet wurde, sprechen, im Materiell, die noch länger läuft, werden wir jetzt auch noch über die einzelnen Arbeiten sprechen, die von Navika und Alles dort zusammengestellt wurden. Ja, Goraj Grinch. That's a really difficult name for Goraj Grinch. For Germans. but what is he doing in this exhibition immaterial?
Yeah, he's got two projects.
Yeah.
From the medium point of view, he's showing videos and paintings and an interactive installation, as it says here. It's a painting and a software project.
Yeah.
So to start with this project, the title is Plain Forms. Plain forms could mean like pure forms, only forms. But the meaning that he wants to capture is taken from a statement by Roy Lichtenstein, which means just to form, just to create forms.
Yeah, I can read it. I mean, it's transformation is a strange word, is Roy Lichtenstein saying. It implies that art transforms. It doesn't, it just plain forms. So this is a very strong argument on what art is doing. Or not doing.
Yes, exactly. This is the starting point for him, in a way. But how this relates to the project, I would like to maybe just describe what the project actually does. There's a painting on the wall, and next to it there is a computer with a custom-made software. And this software is actually a reduced version of a program like Photoshop. But you cannot use it to transform any source images, but you are given, in the beginning, when the program is initiated, you are given all the elements that the artist used for the painting on the wall. So it's a collage, some parts are painted, some parts like transferred onto the surface with different techniques. Whereas, and of course changed with different computer effects.
Mm.
And on the computer you have the same elements, the same source elements that he gets from media images, from the internet, and all sorts of sources. And you can try to use these elements to build the same image as the one on the wall, or to do an alternative version of the image, you know, a different composition, and with it, of course, also different meaning of the image. How I understand his work as the whole installation with the painting and the software project is, at least for me, it's important that it shows, I think it thematizes the question of the how one should read the image. Because when you get the elements that are in the image as an archive of elements that are like in like singularities, one next to the other, and there's no hierarchy between these elements on the computer, of course, whereas on the painting they are in compositional relationships, and it of course determines the hierarchy, which one is more important, which one is bigger, for instance, or which one is smaller. Also, with this basic elements, you also have the array, an archive of possible transformations that are encoded in the software. So you are faced with the possibility to build the painting, or the software can only trigger the reflection on how the image is read. And in this way I see this as a deconstruction, like deconstruction in like more vulgar meaning of the sense, like the contrary to construction, like taking the elements apart again, the ones that are already there in the painting, and of course you are marked with the like result, the painting as a composition, but now you have to start rereading it, like identifying the elements and of course the transformations that were applied to these source images.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's another project which has a Greek title, and this could be translated in many ways.
Archaios Xené project deals actually with women, so I will take this. I think the artist is still interested in women, so the
that's why he disappeared today.
I know it's
because of a woman.
no. What I want to say is, I want to start with how he said what he's actually depicting. So, in the past, artists were doing like a portrait or a nude or something, and this is where the women was involved. And he's taking now other motifs. So he's not doing portraits and landscapes anymore, like painters before. But he says he is depicting our mediated pictures. So he downloads from internet all kinds of media pictures, and they are composed of everything, and he puts them into new relations in the way that stories are coming to life between these different citations, actually. Mm. And the same thing is how he does this video work, Archaios Xené. He is doing a remontage, a collage of different parts from films, from downloaded video footage from internet, and putting them together. And again, the stories here are facilitated by the text, by Plutarch, that a woman is reading over the video. And this text describes the heroic acts by women. So in this way, the whole circle is made again. So this interest actually on a group of people who have a special place in society, you know. And I think this is the key element. And on the other hand, this Xené is not, it's like xenophobia, yeah? It's
yes.
not just about
meaning.
Women. You know, as I said, this special group in the
foreign
society.
Women.
Yeah, it's a foreign women. And
xenophobia is another meaning of Xené, which means, I think, the foreign.
The meaning of Xené is a foreign woman. So, at the same time, a foreigner and a woman. So, twice.
Female guest and a.
Yeah.
And Xeno is then the male foreign.
I don't speak Greek that well.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's an adverb.
But no, I think he made the research and he is saying it's a foreign woman. Okay. But in this context of the project.
No, it's a fact.
It's a question of who performs in the project, who is in trouble, and to whom we are used to have a distant relation to.
Yeah, the project deals with the problem of foreigners in our society. So these not really marginal groups, but because everybody can become a foreigner at some point. Mm-hmm. And this is not really interactive project, but the observer is put into the position of understanding this work from the point of view of a foreigner, you know, and to reconstruct all those stories that are placed into the very long, I would say, video, is this position of an outsider, and he's faced with the difficulty to disentangle all those stories because it's not clear what, you know, the narration is so thick and full of different citations that it's actually difficult to understand it, and then you step into the position of a foreigner, you know, and maybe the work doesn't really allow you to enter it, you know, because it's so
so thick,
so condensed into its own narratives, plethora of narratives. So he makes a funny work, and of course also the timing, it's like 6 hours, you know. You are faced with a video which you can't really understand.
Yeah, and I started to read the text, but it sounds also very complicated.
Yeah, 6 hours of video.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you could make next time a theater piece out of it. But there's another work. It's from Vanya Mervich.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually three works.
King
that are,
yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of connected because each of them deals with the question of space.
Yeah.
Maybe the most, how would I say, strange is the empty room, and you have a computer in it, and there's one window into which you can, of course, type text. And when you press enter, the text disappears, and so you're back at the beginning. So what he says about this installation is, of course, that this is like an empty space full of meaning.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a question, where is this meaning? You've sent your statement to this information system, and you basically don't know where it went. You don't see it anymore. However, it is somewhere. You don't know if it is anywhere, but maybe it is somewhere.
Yeah.
And in fact, it is recorded
somewhere.
He will reuse it later. But what he's interested in here is these different layers of information that are placed in our world, how we move in these fields of information, how they can be transmitted to us in different ways, also on the subliminal levels. An aspect of this project was to make a text-to-speech program to read these texts, but then play them on a frequency that the human ear cannot hear.
Mm.
So to expose you to one way of how this information can be transmitted. Of course, dogs would hear it and a person wouldn't. The other two projects, King Midas Room.
Mm-hmm.
King Midas Room is room of this king that anything that he touched would turn to gold, so he starved in the end. This is this Greek king. And of course, XYZ is a cube that rises from the ashes. It's a paper cube, like an origami cube, and it rises from the ashes in a video. So the cube is, of course, the basic shape, form, and there's a space in it. Whereas, and it's kind of reflection on the space itself, in a way. Whereas King Midas Room is this... there is this golden room that the artist Vanya Mervich actually did. He's got a room, his atelier, and he covered it with gold leaves.
Yeah.
So, and then he made photos of this room. So he actually has this room where everything is covered with gold.
Yeah, I think these three projects by Vanya Mervich are actually all of them dealing with the room. So first room, is the one with full of meaning, you know, is the information room. It's empty, but it's full of information mediated by the computer and by the visitors. The second room is an empty room, full covered with gold, so there is no person in it, but there are many, many objects, like day-to-day objects, and they are all gold, so it's this kind of the passion for tangibleness for the object.
Mm.
And then is the XYZ room, the origami cube, you know, it's just the concept of a cube as a space, as a room. Yeah.
And there's another artist, Tilen Spona.
Yeah, Tilen Spona. Tilen Spona.
Immediate is the name of the work, and it's marking of anonymous users into the passive media activity.
Exactly.
Immediate, okay.
Immediate, yeah, it's again a tricky word. It means directly, immediate.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it involves the word media, yeah, like in it, taken from the media, you know, mediated by media, you know.
Yeah.
And Tilen is exploring, like you said, the society where media are making us passive, are putting us into the passive position.
Mm.
And in his installation, he shapes two masks for these passive users. One is an animal and the other one is a human. And these masks are turned one up, the other one down. They reflect each other so that the dog mask, the animal mask, has the big developed mouth, whereas the human has a big developed brain. And both positions are actually developed by getting being submitted to the media, to getting all this kind of brainwash or whatever we are getting in his picture. And the whole concept is actually dealing with the hybridization, so between the transitions and transformations between the subject and the object, so between passive and an active position. And he says that he believes that our digital society is actually making this morphing between the subject and an object. So the hybrid subjects are those who inhabit this media society.
And the object he projects is basically very dissolved.
Yeah. He projected a video, which was a composition of different elements. He had some news from CNN, which are like programming our reality by truth. And then he had some very personal glimpses over a female artist with whom he was making another project, Morphing, in which he was developing this relation between object and subject. And then some other glimpses into the European city, and they are encoded with the digital encoding, which you see in the video image. And some references to the like, I would say, psychoanalytic, like previous experience, like mother relations and close family, like brother, father, and so on. So he puts this subject into the position where all these images are projected over the subject, you know, over those masks. And this projection, the mediated, is shaping the mask on the subject.
Mm. And you both, you have a work as well in illo tempore, the condition of video imaging. Is there conceptually and materially tested?
Yeah.
Somehow.
Maybe just to add about Tiranj Bona's project, in the end we decided to present another of his projects. It's not on the poster.
Oh, okay.
It's the title is Morphing, which is a software project, and you.
This is on this little screen.
Along with the immediate is another project, which is Morphing, interactive on computer.
Yeah, but I thought you have a work as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's okay if you like to say more about this morphing. But nice would be if you say something on your work as well.
Okay. Okay, I can. What?
Yeah, whatever you want.
No, I just wanted to say that there's this other project where you can explore the image, you know, in like new media image with the finger on the, which is actually the mouse on the laptop.
Yeah.
You can like explore the image, like a tangible object, move into it, and your path is being integrated into the image.
And then you can print it, like.
And it gets printing. So he's also like deconstructing the stability of the original.
Yeah.
In the like fine arts, and I think this project is
This is Morphing project. It's in dialogue with the immediate, and parts from the recording of the Morphing are also integrated in the video of the immediate. So that's
exactly. So it's like two projects, and one didn't make it to the poster, but it is in the gallery. so about our projects, me and Narvika have, of course, curated this show. We selected the works and of course, thought about the relationships between these elements. And the project that we also added to the show is basically multiple projects, whereas the meeting point of these projects is that the artist curates relationships between voices of material reality. This is what we have written, and the way we have done these videos, it's in Illo Tempore, high resolution data video, and VSA. VSA means very small array. It is the name of a telescope on the Tenerife island that measures cosmic background radiation. All these videos deal with how an artist appropriates a part of material reality and uses it in not really transforming that element of reality, but just placing it alongside with other elements of reality while trying to preserve its uniqueness, its original nature. So there are basically three images there. One is projected, and there's one image on a computer screen and one on the on a TV screen. On a TV screen, we explored the limit of the medium of analog video. So when you turn on a television set, the old one, you get this noise the televisions know. And in fact, 3% of that noise is caused by cosmic background radiation. So if you think about it, 3% is quite a lot. You can actually mark, and we did mark the 3% of the television surface with color, so you can see how much of this image is influenced by cosmic background radiation. The reason for that is that cosmic background radiation is actually by far the strongest radiation that there that exists at all. So in this sense, we wanted to give meaning to this zero level of analog video, the television snow. And in fact, we did give meaning to the 3% by marking it out and, of course, supplying the discursive explanation of in what way it is, what it is, of course.
No, I just want to say, like as an audience of the show and someone who was a bit involved in the production, all the subject sounds very, you know, deep and heavy, but the show itself is very relaxed. And it's very communicative, it's very friendly, it's very colorful. And what I like a lot in the show is that the project basically mangle into each other. So it's in the end, it's like one complex installation, which one side is a bit more empty, if you know the gallery of Atelier Frankfurt, and one side is more intense. And I think it's a very friendly atmosphere to be there.
I see it, you know, as our reality. If you walk down the street, you know, you're exposed to different realities, you know, different art objects, different not art objects, different people, different information. Like you have jumbo posters, you know, you have this shop windows.
Yeah.
The art can't exist in that white cube, you know, isolated among four walls. For that reason, the media art always communicates with the total, with the all information that we are exposed to in the gallery and outside it. And when the person enters a gallery, it's he's bringing his or her whole world with him or with her.
Yeah, and on the other hand, you are saying, I have this in this little text here in German, but you are saying here it's a problem if you have this materiality and the virtuality that we are, on the other hand, in a post-medial condition which we are living in, but it's it's disappearing somehow as it's getting becoming immaterial. So what is this post-medial condition? What do you mean?
The post-medial condition is a concept that was Peter Weibel is working on, the Postmediale Condition. It was a big exhibition of Austrian art, actually of Austrian new media art. And what he was exploring in that exhibition was how the new media actually made the new, the old traditional media, painting, sculpture, how this new media actually forced the old media to transform themselves. And in fact, that what happened is the rebirth of the old media because under the pressure of the new media. So when you consider a sculpture, you know, it can be it can be understood as a video. You know, you can think about the sculpture as of a video. And in our exhibition, where this would be the most clear, are of course Gorazd Karan's paintings. His paintings are made after he actually made the video, you know. They're made after the video, you know. Yeah. He's not doing the collages, static collages first, and of course then using the same techniques to make videos. No, he's a video artist that paints. He's not a painter that does videos.
Okay, yes, thanks.
Yeah, here are like four texts by Chezi Leskli, an Israeli poet who passed away 14 years ago, and they are from the circle, the cycle, the room, and the world. In a box marked time, there is a box marked room. And in a box marked room, there is a box marked time. In these two I live, and listen to the rustle of these boxes scraping against each other. I left the room, and when I returned, the word room was erased from all dictionaries, and a different world replaced it. I sat in that different world and followed its instructions. The room, the poem, and the world now stands outside of the room, the poem, and the world on a central pedestal, one beside the other, in distant display. A person sits on a chair near a table in a room. On the other side of the wall, in the landscape, stands a second person. If the landscape penetrates into the room, in a sink, a lemon tree will grow and a puddle will percolate on a table. If drawers are placed in the open landscape, what will close them? Nothing is closed in the landscape. The wall can separate a frozen lake and a furnace that melts itself. And he's doing it indeed.
Yeah, vielen Dank für die poems.
Yeah, the poems are basically kind of a motto to the project. If you look back, you won't see it anymore, concerning language, representation of objects in our virtual series of rooms that we built. Basically, after creating the work and publishing a project book, it was important for us to have like a text which represents somehow the work, and that's why we came back to Leslie's works, and of course there were also other texts. Mm.
Okay, yeah. And there is another thing. There's a flying insect, and a sculpture came out of this somehow.
Yeah, the person is quite alone in the space. I mean, like in installation rooms, like in exhibition rooms, we worked basically sometimes alone, and that's what was important for us, that in some point this libella, this dragonfly, will appear. And in, so to say, the last room, the lounge, one can see our figures.
Mm.
Alej, Navika, and my figure is, you know, the one who basically welcome all the viewer in either in the end of the track or in the middle.
Mm.
So there will not be this kind of anonymous loneliness of this empty full spaces.
Yeah. So who built then this insect? Because
this
really a material.
Basically a part of a greater whole. Because I would like to go back to the point when we talk how we met, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The most important thing about our collaboration was that we were presenting our works with our virtual spaces that we built before this one. And Barak, of course, his installations, his like site-specific interventions, and of course. And somehow, I think, of course, there are big differences in the media that we use, because me and Arvika, we work mostly with video and, of course, software art, new media art, something computer-based. But I think the meeting point was that we all wanted either an installation, either an event in real space, or some configuration of virtual space, or an image or an object in the virtual space to have some real meaning, you know, to have some contact with the reality around us, you know, with the forces, you know, that are pushing us around. And I think this is the point where we met. Okay, the dragonfly is an experiment, you know.
Yeah.
It was made to be animated. It is animated in the video. It can actually also work in the virtual room.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that well because the software cannot push the wings fast enough, and it looks silly.
It's also in the room because our whole project deals building models, maquettes, these two and three dimensions. And when we exhibit this work here in Frankfurt, it was important for us to have like one more notion of this idea. So it basically appears there as a not as an aesthetic, more as a conceptual idea of having our rooms there, that we have also like the possibility to 3D print them.
Yeah,
because the things from virtual reality can enter our reality, and it can happen in two ways. One is, of course, the banal way of printing a 3D object, but the second one is like to influence our lives, you know, so in a real way, because you have statements in virtual world and they can enter real one. You know, people earn money for these multiplayer games, you know.
Yeah,
people are working there. You know? The companies have their islands in this, what, Second Life?
Yeah.
But our project is way more reduced than the entertainment environments.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's really very nice that you join our virtual, our radio reality here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We really also have material to thank some people.
Oh, yeah. Now, please.
Thank Kuna Thiele from Atelier Frankfurt for all the generosity and patience and help in the last weeks. And for Milorad Prentovic from Galerie Perpetuel, who gave us the rooms and helped us in the installing and all the way till the end of the show.
Yeah, and the show Immaterial can be seen till 12th of April in the Atelier Frankfurt.
There will be a lecture and a finissage on the 11th.
On the 11th, Friday, okay.
I think, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we'll have a lecture and we'll have some web streaming events. So because not all of us can come here again to Frankfurt.
Yeah. Okay, but it's great that you came, and yesterday you had really a great opening, and yeah, it was really fine. And I put then your links and ArtNet Lab and links to other projects on my webpage, mm-hmm. where then great. You can find the download. Mm-hmm. It's on fehe.org, fehe.org.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining the radio, Barak and Ares and Navika. Yeah.
Thank you.
Am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich jetzt Felicia. Ciao.